Christianity is not a life of struggle. That's why God has given us his grace, so that we enjoy a free flow of his kingdom.
Join Prophet Simon Thomas of Glory Carriers Ministry International as he brings you the divine word of God in its simplicity.
Father, we thank you for your presence. Thank you for your spirit at work. Thank you for the word coming forth to touch us, to get us changed, our situations changed forever. In the name of Jesus. Let's be seated. Hallelujah. All right, let's get into the word. Some of you are burning your face. Are you in church? Look at how some people are looking at me. Did I offend you? Are we beefing? Sorry. Hallelujah. So in less than 40 minutes, we should be out from here. You are happy that you end early. Amen. So in less than 40 minutes, turn to your neighbor and say, you'll be out from here in 40 minutes time. I've been turned to your neighbor and say, welcome to church, welcome there. Smile at your neighbor. Life is not that serious. Smile. Jesus, yeah. You have done it again, Jesus, yeah. In your special way, what was impossible, you made possible, Jesus, yeah. Jesus, yeah. Jesus, yeah. You have done it again, Jesus, yeah, in your special way, what was impossible, Baba, you made possible. Thank you, Father. 1 Thessalonians 2:12. Today's theme is called the Kingdom's Dream. Hallelujah. The kingdom stream. I want everybody's mind to be gathered here. Don't just forget about every hate on your economy, hate on your friend, anybody that hurts you. Just focus on the word, amen, and allow God to touch your life. Can we read together? I want to go. So Paul was speaking to them, the church, and at the middle of his teaching, he said to them, to walk worthy of God who calls them into a kingdom and a life of what? Glory. And why did we have to start with the scriptures? To give you the idea that God wants you to be part of his kingdom. Not just that, but that he has called you already into his kingdom. Are we together? That the reason why God came to the earth through Christ Jesus is that you be part of his kingdom. Say, I'm part of God's kingdom. Hallelujah to Jesus. And in the book of Ephesians 1, I guess, the Bible told us how that we are now united with the family of God in heaven by the reason of our unity with Christ. So by being in Christ or being a Christian, you are now part of God's family in heaven, God's kingdom family in heaven. Simply meaning that the kingdom of God is not just limited to the scope of heaven, to the parameters of heaven. All right? Heaven is more like, I've said it several times, the capital of God's kingdom. Alright? Just like we have Abuja as the capital of Nigeria. Right? That means the ideal state of Nigeria is supposed to be Abuja. Right? In other words, everything we see in Abuja is how every other state is supposed to be. But is it like that in manifestation yet? Huh? Is every state like Abuja yet? What we're trying to say when we say Abuja is our capital is that if you come to Nigeria and we want to show you Nigeria, we'll not take you to some states. Alright? We'll not take you to Jegule or anywhere. Because you have a wrong impression of what? Nigeria. If a foreigner comes to Nigeria, where are we taking him to show him Nigeria? Abuja, the FCT, right? Are you guys getting what I'm trying to explain to you? Alright, that's how it is in God's kingdom. The earth is part of God's kingdom. The Bible says heaven is his throne, the earth extend as his what? Footstool. But the perfect state of the kingdom yet is what? Heaven. Are you people getting what I'm trying to say? So if we're talking about heaven, the perfect view of heaven, of God's kingdom, it is heaven. Not the earth yet. And that is why Jesus taught us how to pray in Matthew 6. He said, pray that my kingdom, my will be done on, as it is done where? Because heaven is the perfect state of the kingdom. So God's dream for you is not to finally make heaven. Say that to your neighbor. Want to go? Yes, interestingly. His dream for you is not to finally make heaven. Anti what religious preachers have taught us many years ago. And even till today. God's dream for you is to bring the influence of heaven to the earth. Are you all here tonight? That you bring the influence of what? That you bring the influence of what? Why? Because heaven is the perfect what? State of God's kingdom. His kingdom goes beyond the scope of the heavens. He said when he resurrected, now all authority is given me where? And where? Then he told them, go make disciples from all nations. Because I now have authority not just limited to the heavens. I now have legal authority to find full expression on the earth. And that is why I'm giving you the responsibility, disciples, go out there, make people, make men and women to follow me from all the nations. Because you have liberty now. Why? Legally, I own the earth. You know, somebody saying legally, didn't God who own the earth before he resurrected? He did. But, you know, the Bible said, in the beginning, God told man, have dominion on the earth. Alright? He said, have what? Dominion on the earth. Now, if you look at the Bible, I hope some people will be able to show me this scripture. In Matthew, it says, come take the kingdom prepared for you from the foundation of the world. What scripture is that? Matthew what? If you know it, lift your hand and tell us. We're not guessing here. Matthew what? Matthew 25:34. Beautiful. What does it say? Then he said, then he who has received the one talent came and said, Lord, she said 34. I forgot my money. Sincerely, I would have given you money. Do you want money? She said yes. Jesus Christ. Next Sunday. Amen. He said, then the king will say to those, now this is the final judgment, alright? The finality of time. That God will sit and say to some, those people that will behave well in righteousness. Are you people here tonight? Because some will go to hell if they refuse to accept this gospel. I hope you know there's a heaven and there's a hell. Turn to your neighbor, everybody. Say, neighbor. There's heaven, oh. There's hell also. If you don't believe in hell, tell that neighbor. Hell believes in you. You know, some people say, I don't believe in hell. Heaven is in my heart. Hell is in my, is a fiction, a religious fiction. All right, now, let's just leave that one. Now, finally, those that live righteously, that receive eternal life and live on the earth the way God will want them to live, the Bible said, God, the King of all kings, will say to those on his right hand, you see that? Make sure you are not on the left hand. Come, you blessed of my Father. Inherit the kingdom prepared for you from what? The foundation of the world. So you see, God wanted to have a kingdom from the beginning through man. Is it clear here? And he wanted to rule on the earth through man. He said, inherit the kingdom, making man look like he's a king in that kingdom. No wonder the Bible said he made us kings and priests. And no wonder the Bible said he is king over we small kings and lord over we what? If you read the Bible in Revelation 1, the Bible is not suggesting that he is king over Sir King Zazel. No. Or Oni of Ife. No. Alright? He is king over we kings and lord over we lords. Are you listening to me? Very important. Glory to God forevermore. Hallelujah to Jesus Christ. You know one funny thing that came to my mind just now? Interestingly, there will be some kings in hell. Hope you know. Those that don't believe in God, they will be in hell. Hallelujah to Jesus. Do not be tied to every culture, tradition, and religion that is anti the word. Don't be tied to it. You know, there are some cultures suggesting to us that Christianity is a Western civilization. It's a Western idea. Have you heard people talk like that? That this our Christianity is a Western idea. That we Africans, we know our God is in our shrine. But they took all the Western things and left Jesus. They say Jesus is Western too. They have laptop. They have houses. They receive their electricity. They did not reject it too. But the one that now put a pressure against their culture now, and they are now rejecting it. If you hate Western ideas, you should not use light. Go back to the village and tie leaves. Because what do you have before Westerners came? What do you have? Hallelujah to Jesus. If we want to go back to our culture, we should tie leaves, isn't it? Do you know there's a culture in South Africa now that don't wear clothes? Huh? Have you seen those people before? That they put something in their mouth. It goes so wide. I don't know if you have seen them. Their mouth, they put one thing. The mouth now gets so elongated. Now imagine from that tribe. Imagine that they born you there. And you grew up in Nigeria, for instance. You have sense like this. They want to now put something to initiate you into the culture in your mouth. How many of you will reject that culture? Because of culture now, you are in pains. And imagine, they say go back to your village and go and do traditional marriage. Imagine you are from that culture. Then they say you are not going to wear clothes, you and your husband. You are coming to serve wine with, or give palm wine. Let's not even go there. How many of you follow that tradition? You know, some of you think that Idoma is older than kingdom. You think Tiv is older, Igbo is older. They are not older. God is called the Ancient of Days. Before there was anything, there was Him. He gave birth to everything. Your culture is too young. So in our culture, is Burukutu, we serve people. Your culture is a baby culture compared to kingdom culture. Are you guys here tonight? That's why the Bible says by the blood we were called out. Now it's not a new thing God is trying to do. He is bringing us back to the original. He said by the precious blood of Jesus we're called out from every people and nation. It's not a new thing. He's calling you back to the original. Like we just read here. The Bible says he will say to them by his right hand, come take the kingdom, inherit the kingdom, prepare for you from the world, foundation of the world. Meaning from the foundation of the world, we ought to live as kings. You see, what he's doing right now is not to initiate a new idea. That is why Colossians 3:3 in the Amplified says something. Now, let's read it again before we come back here. We have read it several times.
that the life Jesus gave us after he resurrected is not a new life. It's more than just a real life, a new life. It's the real life. It said, for you died to this world, and you're what? And what? Did you see that? It's not just new. It's real. I'd ask some of you here that have laptops, that how many of you know the function called Windows E? If you know it, how many of you have laptops? Raise your hands up. You have PCs. All right. Let me see. Raise your hands. I want to see everybody. Don't be scared. It's not a hard question. Now, how many of you know the function of Windows E? Huh? You see, not everybody are raising their hands again. If you press Windows E, it will take you to File Explorer. Is that a new thing? Yes, to some people just seeing it for the first time. But has it always been there? Yes. What happened now? A revelation of what has been there. The Bible said there's a mystery that has been hidden in ages past for your glory. Imagine you are looking for something, a file, and you don't know where to even how to get to files in your laptop. And that thing, you need it to be able to pay for something. You know, if you can get access to that thing, you'll be able to withdraw. Imagine that file is hidden in your laptop. How many of you have one day just see one material in your laptop and you're like, this thing has been here? How many of you? And probably you really needed it. It has been there hidden for long, 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 until one day you saw it and you were excited because you can now use it. The Bible says there's a mystery that has been hidden in ages past for our glory. What is that mystery? Christ in us, the surety of glory. You see that? So you see, this life is sounding new because some of us are just realizing it. But beyond new is the real life. This is a real culture. From the beginning, we're created to be spotless and holy before our God. Not to live in sin. Sin is not a norm. Sin is a problem. It's not a norm. It's an abnormality. That a human being walks in sin is very abnormal before God. In the beginning, he created you what? And what? Meaning from the very beginning, God designed you to have his nature. Image simply means to imagine like God. You know, some people are wondering, these things are too big. How will Pastor be all of these things for us? It's true. You know, you have been so into our natural world. So it's very difficult to grow up in a particular place in this world, having been really brainwashed by the ideologies, and suddenly somebody comes to you and say, this is what God thinks about you. It's difficult to believe. It's as if you are saying something that doesn't exist, that can never exist. For instance, imagine all your life you were taught that you cannot be perfect. But what do we read in the Bible? It said, be what? As your Father in heaven is what? Question is, who is lying? Your heart or the Word of God? I was teaching somebody in my house on Saturday and I said to him, just like every instrument in the world has what we call manual. Very basic teaching. I said, so do we have manuals for our life. And what is a manual? God's word. Meaning you cannot tell the ability of the TV properly until you look at the manual. So is it for you. You cannot truly tell what you can do till you read the Bible. There are some things you thought you cannot do or you could not do. But when you read God's word, then God will tell you you can do it. This is where Paul stood from and said things like this. I can do what? All things. He didn't say some things. He said all things. True what? That what? Very important. You see, we cannot say you are part of the kingdom and not teach you the characteristics of this kingdom. You cannot be part of this kingdom and talk small. You cannot be part of this kingdom and speak weakness. You only speak strength. He said, let the weak say I'm what? And let the poor say I'm what? And he was so marveled. I asked him at the end of the teaching, I said, describe God. He said, God is simply love. I remember many years ago, sometimes back, teaching a young man. And while I was done, almost crying, he said to me, I didn't tell him to confess his sin. You see, when you teach God to a person, you don't need to tell the person to confess his sin. He will renounce Satan by himself. He said, Pastor, having listened to you, he said, I don't think there's any way we can run away from the love of God. He said, the only way somebody will not be born again if if the person does not hear this gospel, he said, as long as somebody hears this thing, he cannot escape from God. I said, very true. The Bible said the gospel of God is the power of God unto salvation. Unto them that believed. Believe. And you know, somebody may say, they have to believe. Remember, their belief comes from our speaking. The Bible says, faith cometh by what? Hearing by the word. Meaning there is nobody that can reject this gospel when being preached to. Are you guys here tonight? And before we were done, he told me everything that was wrong with him. I remember he was sharing. I was so amazed. I didn't know it happens like that. That, Pastor, you know, I had this money problem. But right now I want to make you understand that I've been in it and blah, blah, blah. There's this charm I've been using. I collected from one baba. We talk to people. They have to give us money. Yahoo, some sort of. And while we're talking, I said, you see, that charm is powerless. And listen, the young man told me, he said, I don't want to live long. I said, really? He said, yeah, I just want to make money to some extent and I'll leave that. I said, don't worry, when you reach that age, you will not love life more. I said, he's a devil that has come to lie to you. He's a liar. And I said, get the charm, let's burn it. I said, yes, bring it for me. I want to burn it. He said, ah, I said, bring it. Hold it, squeeze it. He said, this is it. It's so powerless. It has no effect. Get it burned. Nothing can happen. See, if you have a charm in your house, it's a promise. Because from that story, it's possible people have charm now in their houses. I was aback, hearing that someone that young has charm. Bring it, it will be born. Even they told you that, you know, some people said, they said if I burn it, I'll be mad. Bring it and see. Jesus has paid for that sin you did. He has received the consequence of your sin. Do you understand what I'm trying to say? All you need to do is confess it. As you are confessing it, follow instruction. Go and carry it and come. Let's burn it. Let's see who will be mad. Is the baba that will be mad? You know, some pastors make this thing difficult. They say you'll be mad. We have to go and meet that baba and negotiate. Negotiate with who? It's kingdom life. It's not animal life. It's kingdom life. Are you here tonight?
Yes, sir.
Say, I'm part of the kingdom of God. Hallelujah.
Amen.
Hallelujah.
Amen.
Glory to God forevermore. Amen, amen. Amen, amen. Hallelujah. So we are part of God's kingdom. We are part of God's kingdom. But you see, the enemy has come, but to what?
Steal.
To what? And to what? And you see, this thing I'm saying may sound new, but it's a real stuff. It's a real deal. It's a real deal. You've got eternal life. The resurrection brought eternal life into your spirit. And by the understanding of God's word, it goes beyond your spirit to working on your flesh. It's working on your body. And that is why you refuse to be sick. Sir, I refuse to be sick. And you refuse to walk in sin. Is it, Pastor? Hey, you mean I should refuse? Yes. See what the Bible said in Romans 8:12. I've shown that to you before. You see, many people, when they teach the gospel, they don't teach you what Jesus has done for you to be able to live this kingdom life. They just tell you there's a kingdom God has prepared for you and you should live right to make that, to make heaven, to make that kingdom. But it goes beyond that. The Bible speaks about the unsearchable mysteries of Christ, riches of the wisdom of God. This thing is so big and mighty. You can't know this thing and be a prey to the devil. It's not possible. For instance, do you understand that you died with Christ in baptism? You died with Christ. The Bible says he in Christ is a new creation. Meaning getting into Christ simply means you died with him, you were buried with him, and now you are resurrected with him seated at the Father's right hand. It's that simple, by faith. If you believe it, you are there. You died. And you see what the Bible said about death? Romans 6 and 8 or 7. 6, 8 or 7. It says something. It said, he that is dead is freed from sin. Did you die with Christ? The Bible says if you died with Christ, you are what? freed. You are not going to be free. You are what? Freed. Say, I'm freed. Stop seeing yourself trying to get there. See yourself in that place already. You see, we are not trying to be righteous. We are righteous already, acting up our righteousness as holiness every day of life. The believer is not trying to be righteous. The believer is righteous. Say, I'm righteous. I'm not trying to be righteous. Say, I'm righteous. You know, there's a scripture that gets people confused that says, live peaceably with all men, and without holiness, no one will see the Lord. The Bible does not mean that try to act holy so that you will see God one day. Alright? That's not the interpretation. If you look at the context, it is acts of righteousness. Paul is telling them that you cannot be Christian and not be acting right like Christians. He said, make sure you don't quarrel with people. Live in peace with all men. He said, without acts of righteousness, which is holiness, he said, no one will see God. The same interpretation Jesus gave in Matthew 5. He said, let your light so shine before, so that when they see your good works, they will what? Glorify your Father. In other words, live a life worthy of the kingdom. Are you people getting what I'm trying to say? Live a life. Now, if you live a glorious life, a kingdom life, people will see God through your act of righteousness. You know, why we have to interpret that scripture properly is because the believer is not waiting to see God one day. 2 Corinthians 3 and 18 says, as we behold Jesus like a mirror, we are being what? Transformed. Meaning the believer have seen God by his word today. Did you get what I just said? Are you here tonight? Are you understanding what I'm saying? Do you believe what I'm saying? The believer will see God. The believer has seen God by his word today. Yes. Before we read here, John 1:1. It says, in the beginning, was the word. And the word was with God. And the word was God. Who is God? The word. Are you here in church tonight? God is his word. Hallelujah. Now if God is his word, and the Bible says in 2 Corinthians 3:18, as we behold Jesus like a mirror. Let's see it again. As we behold Jesus like a mirror. It said, but we all with unveiled face beholding in a mirror the glory of the Lord are being what? In the same image from what? Just as by the Spirit. Somebody say, what is the glory there? That's Jesus. Hebrews 1. From verse 2. Let's see it briefly. The glory here is Jesus. You know, how many of you are ready for cardboard? That's the Hebrew word for glory. The glory simply means the fullness of God. It means when you weigh God on a scale. Alright? That's how my spiritual father taught me many years ago. He said, if you weigh God on a scale... He first asked me, what do you weigh? I said that time what I weighed. He now said, if you weigh God in a scale, whatever you see, that's the weight of God. He said, that is everything that makes God God. He said, that's what we call kabod. That word did not leave my head till I got admission. I came to BSU. That is why I started a meeting called what? Kabod. The weightiness of, in the Hebrew guys will call it the weightiness of God. The weight of God's presence. Imagine God lands in your life today. He lies in this place. Imagine the kind of things that will happen. You know, I just said that word, hey. But the Bible says you carry this glory. It said the assurance of glory is in you. Who is that? Christ. There's kabod in you. From verse 1, it says, God had tried speaking in sundry times by different means to the prophet of old. And verse 2, it says, but in these last days has he spoken by Son, whom he has appointed heir of all things. And so let me just add this as a statement. God was trying to say things in many ways before, but he has spoken today. What does it mean for God to have spoken? He has finished speaking. In Christ Jesus, God said everything he wants to say. He was trying to say in the Old Testament. So we cannot be in the dark in the New Testament. God is not strange to us in the New Testament. God is not strange to me. Say, God is not strange to me. Whom he appointed heir of all things, through whom also he made the worlds. Next part of scripture. Who being the brightness of his and the what? He is what? The brightness of God's glory and the express image of God's person. You see that? Who is the glory of God? Jesus Christ. Who is Jesus? The image of the Father. So when we say the glory of God, we're talking about the image of the Father. Who is what? Jesus Christ. And the Bible says, you behold this glory like a mirror. You behold this glory like a mirror. And that is why the resultant effect of beholding is that you are transformed into the image. You cannot be transformed into something you are not seeing. That simply means it must be the image you were seeing to be transformed into the image. Do you people get what I'm trying to explain to you? So when we behold the glory, we are transformed into the image of the Father. Are you seeing this right now? Glory to God forevermore. Go back there. So you see, that is why we have to explain Hebrews 4. That we're not going to see God one day. The believer has seen God today by his word. Are you listening to me tonight? If you don't believe this, you'll be in big trouble. Should I show you why? 1 John 3 and 6. See what the Bible says. Whoever abides in him does not sin. Whoever sins has what? Listen, don't allow the devil to distract you. Some of you, you want to gist your gist in church. It's Satan. You are listening to the word. That gist is hungering you. All the days you were in your house gisting, how did you, what happened to your life? It's in church when the word of God is going, you want to. I've been looking at you. You know, it's the devil. That's acts of demonism. You can't be one place. Gather your spirit. Some of your unnecessary peace will be worrying you. Just be in church. Hi, peace, they worry me. When a word for you is coming, Satan just programmed peace inside you. You go to the restroom now, nothing came out. So now, wow. Why this thing not come out? Ushers, everybody now. Some people are about to go and pee. We bind that demon in the name of Jesus. Whoever abides in him does not. Whoever has what? Has neither what? Nor what? Meaning, if you know God, you cannot sin. God is saying the only way not to sin is to know me. How many of you believe you can know God? Before now, many people think they can't know God. You are in big trouble. Because to abide in him simply means to have seen him or to have what? Known him. Because the resultant effect of every of these three factors here is that you will not consider your sin. You will not consider your sin. So if you think you cannot see God, it simply means you cannot abide with God. It simply means you cannot know God. Are you people getting what I'm trying to say? And that simply means you will continue in your sin. What is eternal life? I have eternal life. John 17:3. What is eternal life? Let's read it together. John 17:3. Eternal life, and this is eternal life, that we may what? Know you. You see that? So you claim you have eternal life, and you now say, I don't know God. How is that possible? Eternal life is that you know God, the only true one, and Jesus Christ, whom he has sent to you. In other words, in summary, to know God through Jesus, that's eternal life. Jesus said, he that has seen me has what? Seen the one that sent. Are you here tonight? Are you seeing that you are closer to God than you ever imagined? Now, you can't know these things and continue your sin. It's not possible. You've been called into a kingdom. Your life, this act of the kingdom, let me read a scripture for you before we go. The last scripture. I said 40 minutes, and here are we. We are in 40 minutes already. Did I not say it? And they did not believe us. Mark 4:30. There's this parable of the kingdom I want somebody to check for me that says the kingdom of God is as this thing they put in flowers. Yeast.
I read it here one time. Can you remember? All right, we'll get there. I think I've seen it. But let's read this one now, Matthew 4:30. And he said, whereunto shall we liken the kingdom of God? Or with what comparison shall we compare it? Next part of scripture. It is like a mustard seed, which what? When it is sown on the ground, is smaller than all the seeds. You know, now it looks as if what we are saying is not possible that it happens everywhere in the world. How can these ideas take over the world? It may be a question in your heart. That these things we are saying now, a lot of, you know, some people will say darkness is in this world too much. How can we win as Christians? How can these things we are saying get to everybody in the world? How can we dominate the world with this ideology? Jesus is explaining to you. He knew he would ask this question one day. He said, the kingdom of God can be likened to a mustard seed, which when it is sown on the ground, is smaller than all the seeds on the earth. Now, it seems as if this idea is the smallest of them all on the earth. Next part of scripture. It says, but when it is sown, it grows up and becomes greater than all herbs, all shoots out large branches, and shoot out large branches, so that the birds of the air may nest under its shade.
I am sure you were blessed by these words of life and peace from Prophet Simon Thomas. Get transformed by the truth of God's word by visiting and following our social media handles at Glory Carriers Ministry International, and get more messages at www.embassyofglory.com. Also, worship with us on Tuesdays by 5 p.m. and Sundays, first service by 8 a.m. and second service by 10:15 a.m. at Sheraton Hotels beside Benue State House of Assembly, Mukherjee, Benue State. God bless you.